Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Hey. Let us point out that we have a brief amount of unfinished business from our previous shiur, where we featured the machlokas Reb Chiya and Reb Sheshes regarding Heloch. So without any need for further introduction, because we're simply continuing from where we left off in our last discussion, the inverted triangle, as you can see, indicates that we have a question raised against Reb Sheshes. Toshma detoni Romi Barchamo. Rami Bar Chama presents a Tanaic source that deals with shomrim, people that are given something, entrusted with an item to watch, or you have the case of the shoel, the borrower, and the socher, the renter, and they have responsibility over the item in their possession. The Torah speaks about the need of a shomer if he wants to claim innocence as a result of something happening to the item that he was entrusted with. He can swear and gain a financial exemption. The nature of that oath, according to Rami Bar Chama, involves kfira b'mitzas and hoido b'mitzas, partial confession, partial disclaimer, where he's kofir, where he denies, partial denial. I would like to point out ahead of time that Rashi gives a very thorough explanation of this matter, which we will look at Emir Sashem after we read the source. So Rami Bar Chama teaches Arba Shomrim Tzrichin Kfira B'Mitzas V'Hoido B'Mitzas, regarding the Shvua, the oath that they would have to take. There is the necessity of Kfira B'Mitzas, partial denial, V'Hoido B'Mitzas, partial admission. The 4 shomrim are shomer chinam, v'hashoel, the shomer chinam, the unpaid bailey, the shoel, the borrower, nosei socher, the paid bailey, v'socher, the renter. Heichidomi, what are the circumstances behind this shomer and his response? Lav, di'omar le heloch, when the shomer in this source is going to be brought to swearing, he would have to, as part of his story, have admitted part of, part of his responsibility. And in that admission, is it not so that the shomer is saying to the owner, Heloch? And what do we see here? We see that there is a need for a shvua. There is the need for swearing. And that's the problem, that's the question we're raising against Rav Sheshes. So we just gave you the format of the question. Now, as far as the details, we pick up with the Rashi on the first narrow line. Dalid Shomrim, Shvua Amura Bohen, the oath that the Torah speaks about, B'Shomer Chinom, if it's an unpaid bailey, he can swear Shenignevo Heimenu, that it was stolen from him, and if he does so, he will be exempt from paying, because the Shomer Chinom is not obligated to compensate the owner if the item is stolen from him. V'shomer socher shenansa, the paid bailey could swear. He won't be able to swear that it was stolen, because that is an event that would obligate him to pay to compensate the owner. But he could swear that it was destroyed through circumstances beyond his control, or it's not in his possession anymore as a result of oines, which is beyond his control. V'shoyel, the borrower could swear shemeso machmas melacha, that in the course of normal use of the borrowed item, the item ceased to exist. In the case, if it's a living creature, an animal that he borrowed, let us say for plowing, he could say it died while in use and thereby be exempt. So those are the four shomrim, and the of course socher we didn't mention explicitly here, because the socher is either like a shomer chinom or a shomer socher, but those are the four oaths that they have an option of swearing in order to gain exemption. Hopefully, of course, if they're telling the truth, that's what really happened. Tzrichin kfiru v'miksas, Rashi continues, v'hidov v'miksas. In their response, the shomer has to be what we call in other sugis moidav v'miksas. When we say partial admission, that entails, of course, by definition, partial denial. So how do you have, with regard to a shomer, this phenomenon? So the Rashi will explain as follows. Kfira would be lo havya elo. The kofir, the denial claim of the shomer, is elo b'kofir mamish. Either he denies totally, or he says lo hoyu dvara me'olam, or it never happened. What does kofir mamish mean? He says, I was never entrusted, or I gave it back to you. Hoda lo havya, admission will not be Elohim kein hoyde mamish, unless he literally admits sheyesh lo biyodo, that I have the item shechayov lahasilo, that I have to return to you. Nimtza she'ein chiyuv shvuas hashomrim bo elo im kein to'an sholosh paros. In order to come up with a scenario where a shomer, an entrusted party, a bailey, will have to swear, that scenario will not arise unless there were three cows. Be'achas kofar lo. Regarding one of the three cows, he denied, like we saw above. You never gave it to me, or I returned it to you already. So that the owner would have to be claiming, I gave you three cows to watch, now give them back to me. The shomer responds regarding one of them, you never gave me that one. So as far as three cows are concerned, one we cross off. As far as the shomer is concerned, you never gave it to me. Uba'achas hoidolo shiyesh no biyodo. And regarding a second cow, he says, yes, I have it. Ushlishis Oymer lo, regarding the third cow, he would say, Nensa, it is not with me anymore because of circumstances beyond my control. Oim shomer chinomu, Omer lo b'shlishis nignava. Or, if he is an unpaid bailey, he could say, regarding the third cow, it was stolen. Dechayev oleo shvua amura b'torah. The claim of Nensa by a shomer sochar, or the claim of nignava by a shomer chinom, is grounds for the shvua that the Torah describes regarding the shomer shelo sholach yodo b'mleches reyo, where the shomer swears, I did not use it for my own personal purposes, and rather it was either stolen or nansa. The ilu shvua de kvira ein zu shvua amura b'Torah. Regarding the shomer's claim of denial, I never received it, or I gave it back to you, that claim is not what the Torah expects the shomer to swear over. That's therefore we had to introduce a third cow, where he would claim regarding the third cow either it was stolen or nansa. Ubalav kfiranami lo techayve shvua shomrim. In the absence of kfira, there would also be no shvua. Dichtiv b'shomer chinom, the pasuk in the Torah regarding the unpaid bailey says ki hu zeh. Those are words from the pasuk. Demino nafgalon, from those words we learn shemoida b'miksas v'kofar b'miksas. There has to be partial denial, partial confession. So that with the shomer simply saying you never gave anything to me, that wouldn't constitute a shvua, grounds for a shvua from the Torah's standpoint. Because a simple outright denial based on the pasuk of ki hu zeh is not grounds for shvua. So there has to be moda b'miksas, partial confession, and kfira b'miksas, partial denial, and then finally the third animal over which he would say it, the shomer claim, as we mentioned before. This approach is ulafuke, to the exclusion, miman domar, an opinion by Bava Kama, by Gezel Kama, in the ninth parak of Bava Kama, where there is an opinion that says, Eruv Parshas Kosov Kan. The pasuk we just referred to of Kihuzeh is really mixed in from another section of the Torah, V'chiksiv Kihuzeh, Lava Shomer Chinom, Dichtiv Gabe Koi. The Kihuzeh is not relevant to the context in which it is found. In other words, you have three words, Kihuzeh, which are to be, we'll say, transplanted from the topic in which they're found, the Shomer Parsha, the section dealing with the guards, with the Bailey, and Aim Kesef Talve is going on a section in the Torah which deals with extension of loans and what a borrower would claim, Moideh B'Mikzas, partial admission and partial denial in the case of a loan. Vashmin and Haitana, and the Tana here that Romi Bar Chama is introducing, the Bishomrim Nami Bo'inon Kfira V'Hidah, regarding the Baileys, we also have that expectation of partial confession, partial admission, Vashvua Mur B'Parsha Al Pora Shlishis, and the Shvua of the Torah of Nignava by Hashomer Chinam or Nensa by Hashomer Sochar is Al Pora Shlishis, is the Shvua that has relevance to that third cow. After his partial denial and partial admission, the third cow, he will then take that oath that we described above, the Nignavo or Nansa oath. The Gemara itself then said, regarding the cow that is the cow of admission, where he's Modeh, what was happening when the Shomer said, yes, one cow, I owe you. Was it not where the Shomer was saying, Halach, I have your cow, and it is yours, wherever it is, that's Halach. And what did we see in the source? The need for a Shvua, the need for an oath. And that represents a Kasha on Rav Sheshes. Let us continue in the Gemara. Lo, the cow of admission, or I should say, is not as we described. Rather, regarding the shvua of the shomrim, the Omar Le, the owner says, Gimel Poros Mosarti Loch, I hope you see we're continuing in the Gemara. I gave you three cows, Umesu Kulhu Bipshia, and the owner is saying they all died as a result of your negligence. Negligence is a phenomenon that would obligate any one of the shomrim, including the unpaid Bailey. He is not exempt in the case where he demonstrates negligence. So the owner is saying, I gave you three cows and you were negligent and that's why they died. The Amaleyu and the Shomer responds, Chada lohoyu dvar me'olam. That's kfira. One of them, well, you never gave me three. You gave me two. And v'chada me'soboinus. And the second cow, and one of the cows, that it died, but as a result of circumstances beyond my control. Ones will exempt not only a Shomer Chinom, but it will also exempt a Shomer Sochar. V'chada meso b'pshio. Now here you have the cow of confession, of where he admits. The other cow, that in fact died as a result of my negligence. Deboino shlumi loch. I have to pay you cash. Delav helochu. That's not a case of the cow is around and it is yours wherever it is, but rather he's admitting to a cash obligation, and that's not an example of halach. And with that, we would then dispel the question on Rav Sheshes. So as far as Rav Sheshes is concerned, you can see that he withstood the attacks that the Gemara had raised against him. So we have a machlokas Reb Chiya and Rav Sheshes regarding what happens when you have an individual being moideh b'miktsas, partial admission, but he when regarding that which he admits, he does say heiloch, and it is yours wherever it is. So that machlokas remains. Now, as you can see, we have a full stop at the end of the line. We have a period, so as to prevent anyone from making the mistake that the Toshma that you see now is a continuation of the Machlokas, Reb Chiya, and Reb Sheshes regarding Halach, because that's not the case. And you'll notice that Rashi is very sensitive, as always, to Gemara structure. Wherever one could make a mistake in the smooth flow reading of the Gemara, you'll see that Rashi comes to the rescue. And the Gemara says Toshma, and we also have a new geometric form. In addition to the, we have a volcano shape. This represents a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the upcoming back and forth style of the Gemara. The narrow part of this volcano shape of this trapezoid represents Kushyus al Reb Chiya Kamaisa. These are questions on the first teaching of Reb Chiya, going back to Daf Gimel, and the inverted volcano Chuvos responses. The house marking that you see represents Diyunim b'Reb Chiya Kamaisa. Gemara has a discussion where the focus of discussion surrounds Reb Chiya's first teaching, the Eidim Sheidu al Mitzvos, where witnesses testified concerning part of the amount in dispute, Mechayven Shvua. They obligate their testimony concerning part of the amount obligates an oath to be taken. We're mentioning these as with the assumption that you are familiar with the topic. After all, that was the Gemara that we learned on Daf Gimel. Diyuno Rishon b'shem avua d'Rav Avtariki hu lahakshois mimokor al Reb Chiya. In the first discussion, the Gemara's purpose is to raise a question on Reb Chiya's first teaching. And the question will be raised from a Tanaic source. Now, the Gemara. Ta Shma, the Tani Avod Rav Avturiki, the father of Rav Avturiki, teaches the following Tanaic source, which is brought into our Gemara as a kasha on Reb Chiya Kamaisa. So, as the Gemara says, the Tony Avud Rav Avturiki l'Reb Chiya Kamaisa, and what do we mean by this? A kasha, a question on Reb Chiya's first teaching. What does the source say? Mono li biyotcha. Someone claims you owe me $100. V'alo omer ein l'cha biyodi klum. I don't owe you anything. So you have a taina, a claim. Then you have total denial on the part of the one being claimed from. And witnesses testify that the party being claimed from, in fact, owes half the amount, 50 zuz, $50. Yocho yishov al ashar. Is there the need for the one claimed from to swear on the balance? Does he have to swear on the balance? Talmud Lomar, Al Kol Aveda Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. That is a pasuk, and we learn from this pasuk, Al Hoidoas Piv Ato Mechaivo. On your own partial confession, you have to swear concerning the balance that you do not owe the balance. The Ato Mechaivo Al Hoidoas Edim. But you do not obligate a person to swear when the partial amount is a function of the testimony of the witnesses. Now that is a direct statement of opposition to Reb Chiya Kamaisa, the first Reb Chiya teaching, where Reb Chiya claimed that if a person admits partially, he has to swear, then Kal v'chomer, then all the more so when the partial amount is revealed through the testimony of witnesses, even though the individual himself had denied completely. So this is a kasha on from a Tanaic source on Reb Chiya Kamaisa. The Gemara responds, Masnisa Koromis Oleid Reb Chiya. Are you trying to raise an objection to Rebbe Chiya? Rebbe Chiya Tana Hu Upalig. Rebbe Chiya has the status of a Tana, and he can argue with this source. So it's one source against another source. That's a legitimate form of disagreement, and it does not represent a refutation of Reb Chiya's original teaching. The Gemara asks, that's fine as far as Tanaic sources are concerned, but we have a pasuk of Al Kol Aveda Hashem Akiuzeh, a pasuk that would appear to function to exclude Rabbi Chiyah's din. The Gemara responds, Ahu Lemoida Mitzas Hatayna. The pasuk cited in the source is not what is referred to as some type of extra pasuk available to exclude Rabbi Chiyah's first teaching, but rather the pasuk is here to tell me the basic halacha of Moida Mitzas, where an individual, in order to be obligated to swear, would have to respond to the claim with a partial denial and partial admission. Nothing to do with witnesses. This pasuk is not available. It's a singular pasuk to tell me the basic halacha of Moida Mitzas Hatayna. Well, if that be the case, so what was Avuad Rav Avtiriki trying to do here? The Avuad Rav Avtiriki Yomaloch, he who was trying to ask on Rav Chiyah, he will tell you Ksiv Hu, Uksiv Zeh. In the pasuk we read, Ki Hu Zeh, there are actually two words that he feels are available, Chad Lemoida Mitzas Hatayna. One is, in fact, like you said, to be the basis for the concept of moida b'mitzas, that only if there's partial confession is there grounds for an oath. V'chad, and the extra word, the second word, la'dos edim, the potter, that when witnesses are responsible for the revelation of part of the debt, then there is no oath to be taken to the exclusion of Rav Chiyah. V'idach, what's Rav Chiyah's response to that? Are there not, in fact, two psukim? It says, yes, Chad Lemoida Mitzas Hatayna, the same as we've been saying till now. One of the words is to tell me the basic halacha of Moida B'mitzas. The Chad, and the other word is for another halacha regarding claims and responses, Lemoida Mimin Hatayna. That in order for someone who is Moida B'mitzas to be brought to a Shvua, he would have to admit a partial amount of a like substance that was part of the original claim. In other words, just for a simple example, someone claims, I gave you a pound of flour of wheat I loaned to you a pound of wheat, and the one being claimed from, the borrower, would say, you didn't give me a pound, I owe you a half a pound. That's all I owe you, not a pound. I owe you only half a pound of the same substance, wheat. That's called moida mimin hatayna. But if the claimer would say, I loaned to you a pound of wheat, and the one admitting would say, I owe you a half pound of barley, there would be no shvua. That point is called moida mimin hatayna, where the confession is of the same min, the same substance, the same element that was the original claim. The idach, now Avud Rav Avtiriki, says moida mimin hatayna lesle. He doesn't hold from that restriction as far as oaths are concerned. Disavar lo le karav gamliel. Avud Rav Avtiriki happens to hold like Gamliel that even without min hatayna there would be a shua. As Rabbi Gamliel says in the following source, Tano chitim voidelo b'sorim potter, Rabbi Gamliel mechayev, a claim of wheat and an admission of barley, the first opinion says exemption, and Rabbi Gamliel says that too is chayev in a shvua. So, as far as Avua de Rav Avtiriki is concerned, there remains an extra word. We had hu and the word zeh. One of those words is available to Mimayi, to the exclusion of Rabbi Chiyah. And hence, Rav Avtiriki had raised his question on Rabbi Chiyah. Rabbi Chiyah, on the other hand, responds that the words that you cited are used up. The Torah words are there to teach me other points of information. One was Moida B'Mitzas, and the other was Moida Mimin Hatayna. And hence, there is no question on me, says Rabbi Chiyah, regarding partial debt revealed to us by witnesses. We continue with an incident. Hahu raya, there was a shepherd. Dahavu masri le kol yoima chiyusa besadi. Every day, owners of animals would entrust by this roe. They would entrust their animals in the presence of witnesses. Yom echad masro le below sadi. One day, the animals were given to the roe, to the shepherd, without witnesses. Lasoif omar lahu. Afterwards, the shepherd said to the owners, "Lo hayu dvarim me'olam. You never gave me anything to watch to shepherd." Asu sadi asidu be de'ochal tarti minayu. Witnesses came testifying that the roe consumed two of the animals. Omar Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera, in looking at this story, first of all, what are the elements? Owners claiming full claim. You to the shepherd, give us back the animals we gave you. Shomer, total denial. Nothing. You never gave me anything. Witnesses coming to testify about a partial debt, namely that the roer, the shepherd, consumed two of the animals. From the context, he was given more than two, but witnesses were responsible for information concerning part of what he owes. Rabbi Zera then says, "Im Esau, the Rabbi Chiyo Kamaisa, if the first Rabbi Chiyo teaching, the topic that we've been discussing in the last few moments, the first few minutes, I should say, where according to the rule of the Rav Rapia in the first teaching on Daf Gimel, where the one claim from totally denies, but witnesses testify that he owes part, what would, if we accept Rapia Kamaiso, Mishtaba Ashara, the shepherd will have to swear concerning the rest of the animals, those that he denies. Because this is like a case of Moida B'miksas. We've highlighted with diamonds the words Esau and Lesa. The first diamond highlights Esau, which where Rabbi Zera is saying, if there is, Esau means is, there is the teaching of Rabbi Kamaisa, then we have in this story grounds for an oath. Omar le Abaye. Abaye responds, Im Esau mishtaba for gazlanhu. Are you saying that if we would accept Rabbi's first teaching, there would be grounds for an oath? You're dealing with a thief. What do we mean by a thief? Here you've got a shepherd that denies having received anything. Witnesses testify he did. So you have a person that's lying and trying to make off with something that he has no right to. That's a thief. How in the world can you expect a thief to be acceptable as one who swears? You might ask, well, if that be the case, then when does Reb Chiyo Kamaiso's explanation apply? After all, in Reb Chiyo Kamaiso, you have someone totally denying and witnesses coming and saying that he owes part. Is that not always a case then of someone being a thief? So Rashi points out that is not true in the case of, let us say, a case of a loan where a borrower initially denies everything, and when witnesses come and say that you did borrow some of that amount, we explain that in his denial he was trying to buy time. He wasn't trying to really make off with it, keep it for himself. It was a delay tactic. That is not relevant to a person entrusted with an item where he has no right to touch it in the first place, no right to use it for himself in the first place. So Abaye says, how can you, Rabbi Zera, say that in this case of the shepherd, if we would accept Rabbi Chiyo Kamaiso, there would be grounds for shvua? Here you're dealing with a thief, and a thief is not believed in swearing. Omar Le, Rabbi Zera responds, Shekenegdoi koamino. This is a very brief statement, but it requires a fair amount of background. And that is, when you encounter a situation that someone has to swear, but he cannot, because of whatever detail, consideration, legal detail, and in this case, he cannot swear because he is a thief, the rabbis transfer the oath from him, from the one that would have had to swear and thereby gain exemption through his oath, and place the oath upon the one making the initial claim, where he would swear and collect. That is a rabbinic a form of intervention, because as far as the Torah is concerned, one who swears, swears in order to gain exemption. By taking the shvuah, transplanting the shvuah from the that individual that would ordinarily swear in order to gain exemption and place it upon the person issuing the claim, that's called a shvuah litol. Shekenegdo kwamina, that we see in the Gemara, Rabbi Zera saying, means shekenegdo, the opposite, the one opposite him. In this case, the one standing opposite the roe, the shepherd, the original owner, he would swear. Kwamina means I am saying. Rabbi Zera says, I am saying that the shvuah that would be imposed would be a shvuah that the owner would swear and collect. The Gemara asks on the heels of Rabbi Zera, who says that a shvuah is in place only because we would have accepted Reb Chiya Kamaisa, leaving you to think that if we don't accept Reb Chiya Kamaisa, there's no grounds for an oath. Regarding that point, the Gemara now asks, Hashtonami, the lesa l'Reb Chiya, now that we don't accept Reb Chiya, meaning even if you do not hold from Reb Chiya Kamaisa, and you would therefore have a situation of no mode b'miktsas. I mean, that's a point that Rashi makes, but it's he makes it in a very abbreviated fashion. Reb Chiya Kamaisa, the halacha that we saw back on Daf Gimel, was predicated on the idea that since mode b'miktsas, a partial confession generates a shvua, when witnesses create the partial element, certainly there is a shvua. If you do not hold from Reb Chiya Kamaisa, in the case where the one claim from totally denies, the fact that witnesses establish a partial debt does not constitute moide b'miksas. So now, even if you do not hold from Reb Chiya Kamaisa, and you would thereby have a situation of kofar akol, where there's total denial, because by denying Reb Chiya Kamaisa, we're saying that the fact that witnesses are responsible for part of the debt does not create a situation of moideh b'miktsas. Nevertheless, there is grounds for a shvuah. Nechayve, let us still obligate the shekenegdo, the owner of the animal, standing opposite the roeh, the Rav Nachman, based on Rav Nachman's teaching. Disnan, Rav Nachman's teaching is based on the following source: Mona li biyotcha. Someone claims you owe me 100. And the fellow claim from response: Ein lecha biyadi. I don't owe you anything. Potter. On a Torah level, there is exemption from a shvua. No shvua. A kush for a kol, when there's total denial, there's no shvua. The Omer Rav Nachman, mashbiyan oisay shvuas heses. Even though, from the Torah standpoint, there is no shvua, the Rav Nachman tells us there is a rabbinic shvua. The rabbinic shvua is referred to in the Gemara by the term shvuas heses. Heses means where you move something from point one to point two, or from point A to point B. We move the shvua. The move or place upon also, where the though the Torah exempted, the rabbis place upon the person denying everything to swear. Now, since the person in this case, the roeh, the shepherd, cannot swear because he has the status of a thief, let us move this rabbinic shvuah, the shvuah's heses that Rav Nachman introduced, move that shvuah onto the owner of the animals. And therefore, even without accepting Reb Chiya Kamaisa, there's still grounds for a shvuah. The Gemara answers, the Rav Nachman takantahi. The point of Rav Nachman of placing upon a total denier, the need for swearing, that is a rabbinic enactment. That's a takanta. What are we suggesting in our Gemara? We can't expect the ro'eh, the shepherd who has the status of a gazlan, to swear the Rav Nachman oath. So, and the Rav Nachman oath itself is a rabbinic oath. So Rav Nachman is a takanta. And now to take that rabbinic oath and place it on the owner of the animals is itself a rabbinic enactment. V'takanta, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'takanta l'takanta lo avdinon. We can call that a double rabbinic intervention. We do not enact. We do not do that. We are not going to take a rabbinic oath, the kofer hakol, denier, total denier oath, which is itself rabbinic, and then through rabbinic strength, transfer, that act of transferring the oath onto the owner who's laying claim, that we don't do. So, therefore, if in this story with the ro'eh, if you're going to say there's the basis of a shvua, that would be only if you accept Reb Chiya Kamaisa, and even then, the shvua is not going to be taken by the ro'eh, who would be swearing on the balance that he is denying, because that ro'eh himself is a gazlan. We would transfer it, said Rabbi Zeira, to the owner of the animal, who would swear and thereby collect. Now, the Gemara asks a question on Abaye. Regarding Abaye, he said that there's no shvua because you're dealing with a gazlan. You're dealing with a thief. The ro'eh is a thief. Why? He denied ever receiving anything in the story. And witnesses said that, well, you do owe part of the animals. The tepukle, the Gemara asks, why not derive or learn that this ro'eh is ineligible for swearing to have a ro'eh by his profession, by virtue of the fact that he is a shepherd. Just by being a shepherd, meaning even without witnesses saying that he came and consumed two of the animals, by virtue of the fact that he is a shepherd, he is disqualified from swearing. The Omer of Yehuda, Stam Ro'eh Posel, your basic shepherd, Stam meaning where we don't have any hard facts regarding his behavior, he is unfit. He is Posel Lishvua. Why is he Posel Lishvua? This we learned in the latter part of Maseches Bava Kama, because shepherds have a tendency to graze animals into other people's fields, which that too is a form of theft, but it's an assumed theft as opposed to what Abaye was speaking about, where only if you can prove that he is a thief through witnesses. What we're saying here is even without that hard evidence, without that solid proof of his being a gazlan, a thief, and hence disqualified from swearing, even without that, he's already disqualified from swearing because of the fact that he is a ro'eh. So what is the basis of Abaye disqualifying the shepherd himself from swearing on the grounds of his being an outright thief? Lo kashya. So there's no question here on Abaye. Ha dide, ha de alma. It depends. In order for a ro'eh to be considered disqualified, that's only if he's a ro'eh of his own animals, where he has what to gain. It's his own. He's a shepherd of animals that he himself owns. He'll graze them in other people's fields so as to save money, expenses that he would have to lay out for his own animals. Hal di alma. However, if he is a shepherd on the public's animals, they're not his own animals. He's simply a hired hand to graze animals. In a case like that, he will not graze them in other people's private fields. He'll graze them in hefker, in unowned lands. Because in such a case, he's being paid by the hour, so to speak. He's not saving any money. He doesn't have any personal gain in grazing them in other people's fields. De'ilo te'mahachi, if you don't say thusly, if you don't make this distinction, then anan chiusul roa hechi masrinon. How can we give over our animals to shepherds? V'hoksiv lefnei iver lo zitei michshol. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block, a form of temptation in front of someone else. If you're going to say that all ro'im, all shepherds, will graze in other people's fields, will graze animals under their trust in other people's fields, how can we give our animals to shepherds? You're putting a form of temptation, of theft in his way. And the Torah says, Lufna Iver, in front of the blind one, do not place a stumbling block, from which we derive the general application of do not place temptation to sin in front of others. And yet we do entrust our animals in the hands of shepherds. Elo chazaka ein adam chayte v'lo lo. Rather, we have an assumed status with regard to human behavior that people will not sin, in this case, graze animals in other people's fields, v'lo lo, if it's not for his own personal gain. So that, as far as Abaye is concerned, we were dealing with we'll call it a public shepherd, and as such, he's not disqualified for swearing on the grounds of his profession, but in the case, in the specific story that we had, where he denied receiving any animals and witnesses came and said he consumed too, there he was a straightforward, outright thief because of the testimony of the witnesses, and that's what had disqualified him from swearing as far as Abaye was concerned. Now, the focus of the Gemara is on the text of the oath that we saw referred to in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we saw two people holding onto a talis, ze yishava she'ein lo ba pochos mechetzya, and the other one likewise swearing. The Gemara asks, al de'is le mishtaba, o al de'les le mishtaba. Is he swearing on that which he does have, or is he swearing on that which he does not have? We're trying to clarify what is the text of the Shvuah that the Mishnah refers to. On the side of the under our Nosei/Mivneh heading, you can see we have the use of a double underline, Mahu Nusuch HaShvuah Shemuzgar B'Mishnah. As we go through the Gemara, you'll see a double underline highlighting what the Gemara feels is the text of the Shvuah. After we introduce the first suggestion, triangles will appear, highlighting the word v'nema, which are kushyos, lama, lo, yishava, kach. Questions why he shouldn't swear thusly, rather swear something else. In other words, why not swear thusly? These are alternative suggestions. In explaining the Gemara we just read, we gave a fairly literal explanation, but the accurate explanation you will find in the Rashi. Let's learn the Rashi together. The Rashi that we're looking at is just a few lines down from here. Al de'is le mishtaba, oy al de'les le mishtaba. Habo lishova velito chetzio. Someone who is swearing and going to receive half. As we saw in our Mishnah, Tzorchu lishova, does he swear sheyesh lo bo chetzio? I swear that I own half. Oh, lishova. Or is he swearing she'ein lo bo pochos mechetzio? I don't have less than half. Shema ein lo ba klum. Maybe he in fact has nothing in it. He doesn't own any of it. V'chimishtaba she'ein lo ba pochos mechetzio. And when he swears, I don't have less than half. Be'emes hu nishba. He's actually swearing a true oath. If in fact he owns nothing of the talis, and he swears, I don't have less than half. Sharein lo klum. In fact, he doesn't have anything in it. So by saying, I don't have less than half, you are, in those words, reflecting what might very well be the truth, namely, that you don't have any holding in it. You don't own any of it. Debishlamo im hoya lo ba shlish o revia. If in fact he owned, let's say, a third or a quarter, v'hu nishba, and then he swears she'ein lo ba pachos mechetzia, I don't have less than half. Nishba b'sheker. That would reflect a lie, a false oath. Share yesh lo ba shlish. He does have a third shehu pachos mechetzia, which is less than half. V'ein lo ba chetzia, and in fact he doesn't have half, but he has a third. So in a case like that, where someone, let us say, in reality owns a third, and you come and swear, I don't have less than half, but you do have less than half, that would be a false oath. However, in a case where he in fact owns nothing, none of it, and he says, I don't have less than half, then nishbahu be'emes. He's swearing the truth. And how do you come to saying that that's the truth? Because once you focus on those words and saying, I don't have less than half, what is less than half? Let us say a third. I don't have a third. Well, if you have nothing, so then you're telling the truth when you say, I don't have less than half. I have nothing. So once again, our question is, what is the nature of the Shvua in our Mishnah? Where we know they're going to divide the talis, he's going to receive half of it. What is he swearing? Is he swearing, I have half? Or is he swearing, I don't have less than half? The Gemara. Omar Avuna, the Omar, Shvua Shiesh Li Ba, he swears, I have ownership of this, V'ein Li Ba Pochos Mechetzia, and I don't have less than half. The Gemara asks, "V'neimah shvua shekula sheli." Why doesn't he swear like his claim? I swear it's all mine. The Gemara says, "We're not going to let him swear that way because umi avinon lekula." Do we, in fact, give him all of it? Don't forget, there's someone else also holding on it. And if we would make him swear, "I own all of it," then it's going to look bad for the court, where the court doesn't give him in accordance with his oath. V'neimah, well, why not say shvua shechetzio sheli? I swear that I have half. The Gemara says that would not be recommended either, because meira lei ledibure, he's weakening his original claim. His original claim was, I own all of it. And now he's swearing that I own only half, so he's in effect weakening or undoing his original claim. The Gemara asks, well, hashta nami meira lei ledibure. With what Rav Huna is saying, he's also weakening his claim. After all, his initial claim was, it's all mine. And when he comes to the actual Shavua, he's swearing that he has in it no less than half. He makes reference in his Shavua only to half. So we still don't have an accurate portrayal of what the Shvua is. So we explain. The Omar, the fellow says, Kula Shali, first of all, it's all mine. Ule Divrechem, but according to you that don't believe me in my claim, Shvua Shiesh Li Ba, V'ein Li Ba, Pochos Mechetzia. So as far as you are concerned, I will swear to my having no less than half. So you don't have the shvua itself being meira lei ledibure, because he is explaining that my claim of having all of it is, that's my own personal claim. You people who don't believe me, so listen to this. I swear that I have in it, and what I own is not less than half. When you look in the scenario of the Mishnah, this one is tofus, he's holding on to it and standing there with his holding of it, and the other one likewise, shvua zulama, what do we have to have a shvua for? They're both holding on to it, just split it by virtue of the scenario, the circumstances itself, without the need for a shvua. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, and here we see, I would like to say, at the source, that which we've been quoting in the past Rabbi Yochanan's point of view, Shvua zu takonas chachamim hi. The Shvua that the Mishnah describes is a rabbinic enactment. Why did the rabbis enact a Shvua for this case? Shelo yehei kol echad ve'echad hoylech v'toykev betalisoi shel chavero, so as deter members of the public from going and grabbing onto someone else's garment, someone else's item that he totally owns. We don't want members of the public going and grabbing onto it, v'yomer shelihu, and making claims that it's theirs. Before we go further in the Gemara and analyze what we just said, just a word of structure. We have a house marking, also with Roman numerals. Here you have Roman numeral number 1, and on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, you will see a similar house marking around Abaye, and that's Roman numeral number 2. On the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, we have the house marking with numbers 1 and 2, Te'amim. These are reasons, explanations, Shalashua b'mishosenu, why there is a need for the oath in the scenario of our Mishnah. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's an oath that's imposed to deter people from this kind of wayward behavior. Oh, so you're saying that the person that is now swearing is actually swearing as a result of our suspicion of his possible wayward behavior? Migu means since. Why not say that since he is suspect on grabbing? Momo means money matters. You're telling us that the fellow that is grabbing onto the talis might be someone who would grab someone else's money, someone else's possessions. So he's chashud, he's suspect on foul play with regard to money matters. Let us say he's suspect also with regard to swearing falsely. So we've gained nothing by imposing an oath. That won't deter him. Just like he's suspect of thievery, he's suspect of lying. The Gemara answers. Notice we have a long answer marking. Lo amrinon. Well, we do not say migu dechoshet amamoyna choshet ashvuasa. It's just because someone is suspect on foul play with money that he will be suspect with regard to foul play with regard to shvuas. You'll say, well, why not? So Rashi explains in the lower part of the narrow lines, lo arminon, we don't say that. Why? The chomer hulin shi isu shvua mi isu gezel. It's all a matter of psychology. In the minds of people, a false oath is a more severe transgression than stealing. Now, the Gemara will deal with that later. Why? How can people think things like that? Nevertheless, that's in the minds of man, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, and therefore the shvua, the imposed shvua, will deter someone from foul play. And now, as far as this is concerned, this topic of migu dechoshet amamona choshet shvasa, and Rabbi Yochanan's claim that we just don't hold by that, on the side of our Gemara, we have a nosei / mivne heading. The diamonds that you will see in the course of the Gemara represent haychachos, proofs, l'shitas Rabbi Yochanan. To Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, the loy amrinon, that we do not say migu dechoshet amamona choshet shvasa. Now that's as far as the diamonds are concerned. Following that, we have more markings. You notice the double underline marking. The double underline highlights the word nema, and we have on our in our margin the explanation: lama loy oisrin olav lishava meachar dechoshet amamona. Why this nema comes to strengthen what the Gemara claims? Why would you not say, since he's choshed on mamon, let us not accept the shvua? Elo demikan royim. Rather, at each juncture, we will see Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yochanan says, the lo amrinon, Migul dechoshen amamona choshen ashvasa. So at each point, we'll introduce with a diamond evidence that we don't say that, and we'll suggest that each time, well, maybe we should say that. So you see from each, we see from the fact that we don't transpose the chashad on mamon to the chashad on shvua, like Reb Yochanan. And as we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice an inverted volcano shape that represents the chiyos hachachos hanal, a rejection of the respective proofs that are introduced along the way. Often I recommend scanning the Gemara ahead of time to get a feeling of the flow of the cadence of the sukkya. So allow your eye to wander ahead momentarily. You'll notice diamonds, and shortly after the diamond appears, you'll see the Neymar expression, where, as we said, we're going to try to strengthen Reb Yochanan's point of view by saying, well, why is it that we don't say, since he's suspect on Mamon, he's choshed also on Shvua? Rather, we don't say it, just like Reb Yochanan holds. And then, do you see, at each point, the introduction of the inverted volcano, where we dismiss that proof. And again, later, another diamond with the double underline, trying to strengthen Reb Yochanan, inverted volcano, dismissing that. You'll see three lines from the bottom, a double underline, which is once again an attempt to strengthen Reb Yochanan's point of view, and again, an inverted volcano at the end of the second line from the bottom. At the top of Daf Vov, Omed Aleph, you'll notice diamonds. In fact, I think you'll notice three diamonds, followed by a double underline, and no inverted volcanoes. Why not? Because at that point in the Gemara, in the upper lines of Vav Omed Aleph, the Gemara has a volley of proofs, of evidence, like Rabbi Yochanan, that we don't say Migu Choshra Mamona Choshra Shvasa. Now, after presenting the, we'll say, the bird's eye view of the sugya, let us continue in the Gemara itself. Rabbi Yochanan just responded that we do not say Migu Dechoshera Mamona Choshera Shvasa. And with that in mind, even though a person might be suspect in grabbing a talis that is not his and claiming it is his, if you make him swear to that effect, then you can rest assured that if he was a simple grabber of something not his, he will release his claim in the face of having to swear. And if he does swear, then you can rely on that he's telling the truth. De'i lo teima hochi. If you do not accept Rabbi Yochanan's point, Hai di Omer Achmona. The Torah says, Moida mixas ataina yishova. Someone who confesses partially to a debt, he is expected to swear. Well, why are you going to allow him to swear? Neymo, why not say, do you, Migu de Choshera Mamona, Choshera Shvasa? Since you suspect him of what? Of owing the entire amount, and he's saying he owes only part. So you suspect him of trying to get away with it, of trying to make off with money that is not his, and you do accept the Shvua. So apparently, by the fact that we don't say that since he's suspect on trying to make off with money, he's suspect also on the Shvua, we therefore see proof to Reb Yochanan. Once again, to repeat, by the fact that in the case of Moida B'Mitzas, he swears, we show that we'll accept the oath even from someone that we would suspect of foul play with regard to money. The Gemara rejects this. The Gemara will say that in the case of Moida B'Mitzas, he's not really suspect of trying to make off with money that's not his. He is simply trying to buy time. That's not considered let's say, the behavior of a lowlife. It's the behavior of normal people that are under pressure to pay back debts and just don't have the ready cash available. Hosam ishtamute kom ishtamit le kiderabo. There, in the case of Moedav and Miksas, he's simply trying to avoid having to pay up everything right now when the claim is being made, in accordance with Rabbah's explanation that we saw back on Daf Dalid. So, in other words, we don't classify him, in the case of the Moedav and Miksas, the borrower who's admitting only partial, only a partial debt, as being choshud, suspect on money matters. Trying to buy time is not a type of behavior that we would thereby classify someone as a thief. Teda, and to demonstrate this point, the Omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin Omar Rav Chista, HaKoifer, someone who denies. Let's say someone denies owing money, and witnesses would come and say, You do owe the money. So someone who is kofer, in the case of bemilva, case of a loan, kosher liedus, he can still serve as a witness in other cases. The fact that he denied owing money in the face of testimony to the contrary does not establish the denier of owing a loan as a thief. If he were considered a thief, he wouldn't be acceptable to serve as a witness. However, bepikadon, if someone is a koifer regarding a pikadon, someone claimed, I never received an item to watch, and witnesses come and testify that you did receive it, posel liedus, that would disqualify someone as serving as a witness. There was no basis, no grounds for him trying to mishtamate, trying to buy time. If witnesses come and say, how can you deny having this item? We know that right now that item is in your possession. So in his denial, he was trying to make off with it. He was trying to steal it. An item that you're entrusted with, you have no right to handle, to use. It's not like a case of a loan where once money is given to a borrower, we say, milvu lahaitzon itnos, money given to someone as a loan is understood to be as good as spent immediately. And the fact that he denied it, that's only... even though witnesses say that he owes the money, his denial, as we said, was only an attempt to buy time. Hence, the denial in the case of a loan, like in the case of Moedav b'miktsas, does not establish you as a thief. So you don't enter the realm of choshed amamona in the first place. So we don't see from that proof to Rabbi Yochanan. Elo ha de toni romi barchama. You notice the diamond? Again, we're going to try to support Rabbi Yochanan's response above that said, Lo amrino migu de choshed mamona choshed ashvuasa. What does Rami Bar Chama teach? And this we saw earlier. Our boss, Shomrim. We have a list of four Shomrim. This list of four includes that which you see after the brackets, the Shomrim Chinim, Shoyon, Oysisocher, and Socher. Regarding these four Shomrim, Srichin, we're reading in the brackets, Srichin kfiro b'miktsas v'hido b'miktsas. In order to generate the Torah oath that Baileys are to swear, the Torah says that he comes forward and swears, in lo sholach yado b'mleches re'eu, he swears that it was, if in a case it was unpaid, Bailey, as we saw in our shir earlier today, it was stolen. Or in the case of a paid bailey, it is gone as a result of ones circumstances. So those four shomrim, in their claim, in their response to the owner's claim, have to have partial denial and partial confession. And the four shomrim include the shomer chinam, the unpaid bailey, the shoel, the borrower, nosi socher, the paid bailey, and the socher, the renter. Neimo migu de choshel amamoina choshel ashvuasa. Why do we allow them to swear and we don't suspect, since they're suspect regarding foul play, regarding money? After all, here you're dealing with a shomer, you're dealing with someone that has been entrusted with the item. He has no right to use it. when and he says in his modeh b'mikzas and kofar b'mikzas, part of his denial is I never received one of the animals. We described this at length earlier, that in his modeh b'mikzas and kofar b'mikzas, amongst the different claims that he's saying, he was entrusted with three animals, and he responds, well, with regard to one of them, I didn't receive anything. And we make him swear. Rashi says on the second wide line under the Gemara, V'leimo migu d'choshel amamona, why not say that, well, since he's suspect regarding money matters, Dahu diomar, regarding the cow, that he says, lo hoyu dvorah me'olam, it never happened. Kofer b'pikadonhu, he's denying having received it as an entrusted item. V'leko l'meimar mishtamit, regarding entrusted items, we don't have that svorah of him simply trying to buy time. Choshed nami ashvua dida. Rashi goes on. The bishlamo ashvua shomrim dahu dekotoy nensa dechayvi rachmona ashvua. I understand regarding the one of those three cows concerning which he says nensa, that it is gone because of circumstances beyond my control, and the Torah expects you to swear regarding that. Ika lemeima dolo choshed amamona. Regarding that, we don't suspect him as being guilty of foul play. Maybe he was simply negligent regarding watching it, and he has to pay for his negligence. The Sovar and the Shomer calculates on the Havi Lizuzi until I come up with the money of Paranale, and I'll pay off what I owe. So the Shomer, in claiming regarding one of the cows, Nen saw that it's gone because of circumstances beyond my control. He realizes that he was negligent and he has to pay for that. He doesn't have the money right now. So as far as that particular cow and his claim of oinus, that would not make him choshed amamona. Elo ha'u ahid kfira, regarding the animal that he is denying totally, ha'vare kofer b'pikadonhu, he is denying having been entrusted with it. Umeshaker, and lying. Vehechi mashbin on lea law. How do we impose an oath on such a on such an individual? So just to reiterate, when you're dealing with the Shomrim, we're imposing an oath upon someone who was moed b'miksas. Fine, he confessed partially. But he's also denying partially that he never received one of those animals. And we suspect him of foul play, and yet we accept his oath. So, why is that? Why don't we say, Nemo migu de choshera mamona choshash wasa? So the fact that we don't say that is proof to Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara rejects this. Hosom nami, even in the case of the Shomrim, ishtamute komishtamit, he is trying to buy time. Savar, in his denial, he is figuring like this. Mashkachno laganov v'tafisno lei. I'll find the thief and collect, grab him, literally, and grab him. And then I'll have the means of paying back for that which I owe. Inami, mishkachno lo ba'agam. It's right now. It's lost. I'll find it in the marshes. Umaisino le, and I'll bring it back to the owner. So that even in the case of the Shomrim, in their denial, they're really trying to buy time. Well, ihachi. If that's how you're going to explain the case of the Shomrim, that the concept of mishtamit, of trying to avoid immediate payment because you don't have the money, then hakeifer b'pikonon amai posulietus, why was it said above, or we mentioned just, you notice we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text, you can see above we said that a person who denies in the case of a pikonon, he is rendered unfit to serve as a witness. Why not say that in denying receiving the entrusted item, he's simply trying to buy time. Sofar ad bachashno umashkachno le, until I seek it out, search for it, bachashno, to search for it, and find it. Why then did you disqualify him, the kofer b'pikanon, as being eligible for testimony? The Gemara answers, ki amrinan ha-kofer b'pikanon posel liedus, when we say that one who denies having received an entrusted article that renders him a thief and therefore unfit to serve as a witness, kegon ti'asu sadi, that is under the following circumstances, that witnesses come forth v'yasidube and testify da'i shaita, that at that time that he was denying, isei l'pikonu b'beisei v'huyoda v'haveyoda, the entrusted article was in his house and he knew it was there, inami, or Dahave nokit le biode, or he was actually holding the item that he was denying. Oh, in a case like that, there you're dealing with a thief. But in the case of a shomer, who doesn't, we don't have solid evidence that he is in possession of it while issuing the denial there, like in the case of the loan, was an attempt to merely buy time. And just to repeat, the case of Kofer Pikonon Posleidus is where witnesses testify that at the time he was denying, he knew that he was in possession of it. So far, we don't have, we'll say, evidence or precedent for Reb Yochanan's ruling. Ela, we continue in our attempt to discover, like Reb Yochanan, that we don't say, Migu de Choshen Amamona, Choshen Ashwasa, Ela Ha de Amar Rav Huna. In the case of a Bailey, a Shomer, that opted to pay for the item that he was entrusted, though he could have sworn and gained exemption. And the Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak of this Masechta indicates that a Shomer has that option. He can either swear and gain exemption, and an unpaid bailey, for example, can swear that the item was stolen, and he is thereby exempt from having to compensate for it to the owner. Alternatively, he, the unpaid bailey, could say, listen, take the value of it, I don't want to swear. Well, in that case, Rav Huna says, Elohodim Rav Huna, the shomer that's willing to pay for it and not swear to gain exemption, he has to swear nevertheless that I don't have it in my possession. Now, if you're making him swear to that effect, apparently we suspect him of having it in his possession. Though he's paying for it, we suspect he's trying to keep an item that he covets. Why not say that? Since you suspect him of trying to make off with someone else's item, albeit he's willing to pay for it, he should not be trusted with regard to the oath. And yet Rav Huna says we accept his oath that he doesn't have it in his possession. Oh, so then we see, like Reb Yochanan, that we don't say suspect on Mamon is also going to be suspect on Shvuah. The Gemara rejects this. This does not prove Reb Yochanan. Hosanami, there too, he's not really suspect on Mamon, on money matters. Moira v'Omar, he rationalizes and says, Domi ko yahavno le, I paid for it. Therefore, I'm entitled to keep it. So that's called rationalizing that, and there's grounds, so to speak, for his rationale, even though it's not something that one is allowed to do, but it doesn't classify such an individual as chashud amamona, as suspect with regard to thievery and objective foul play. In his mind, he's a kind of person that would never steal it. He's not choshen amamona, but he's willing to take it because he's paying for it. Omar le Rav Achomi Difti the Ravina. Now here we have, you notice the double underline where he says he's going to make a point that will, that's, we'll say, designed to support Rabbi Yochanan. This person, this shomer, who was willing to pay for it instead of swearing, is he not in violation of the Torah prohibition of thou shalt not covet the property of your friend? Here he is coveting it. So you have someone who is suspect of the sin of loy sachmod. Why should that sin not be treated the same way we would treat lo sigzo, thou shalt not steal? And just like in the case of someone who is suspect of theft, you wouldn't accept his shvua. Someone who is suspect of coveting, we would expect you not to accept his shvua. And yet, we do accept his shvua. This shomer is swearing she'eino birshusi. What do we see? We see, like Reb Yochanan, that even though he might be suspect of being over violating this sin, he is not suspect with the Shavuah. So we could then say, likewise, in general, if someone's suspect on Mammon, or someone is suspect of thievery, we nevertheless will accept the Shavuah. So from the fact that we're not objecting to the Shavuah by someone who is in violation of Lo Sachmod, we strengthen Rabbi Yochanan, we have proof to Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara rejects this. The violation of that one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet, in the minds of people, below domi mashmalahu, it's where you covet and attempt to gain possession of it without paying. However, if one does pay, it's not in the minds of the public a serious offense. And therefore, someone, a shomer, who, though technically speaking, might be in violation of Lo Sachmod, it's not perceived that way in the minds of the public. Therefore, we cannot classify him as a choshud al mamon. We can't classify him as someone who's violating loy sachmod, because in the mind of the public, loy sachmod is only where someone covets something without the willingness to pay for it. So he's not a real choshen a mamona. So we don't have proof to Rabbi Yochanan. However, now we're at the top of the Avov. You'll notice we have a long point. The reason for this long point is, as we explained earlier, we have a volley of proofs that would seem to support Rabbi Yochanan without any objections. V'elo ha'od yomar Rav Nachman, in a case, and we saw this teaching earlier in our shiur, someone who denies totally. He's called Kofer Bakol. He's not Modeh B'Mikzas, but he's Kofer Bakol. Rav Nachman says, "Mashpian oisay shvuas heses." We impose upon him a rabbinic oath that if you're claiming you don't owe anything, then swear to that effect. Why are we imposing this? Because we suspect that really he does owe. Nemo amigu de choshen amamona choshen ashvuasa. Why not say that since he is choshud on Mamon, he's choshud on making off, on trying to not pay his debt, he should be suspect regarding the oath as well, and yet we allow him to swear. Rashi at the top line says, "Nemo migu de meiz ponav lichbor bakol." He has the boldness and audacity to deny in a total fashion a loan that he received. Lav lish demuti boy. Someone who denies totally, he's not really a person trying to buy time. We saw the concept of trying to buy time in paying back debts. But Rabbah explained that that is characteristic of someone who's Moedah B'Mikzas, not someone who's Kofer B'Kol. someone who denies completely, we know that on a total level, if someone has the nerve to deny or has the audacity to deny completely, he must be telling the truth. But on a rabbinic level, Rav Nachman says we nevertheless do impose an oath. That is indicative of our suspicion that he's not telling the truth. The choshed ashvua, and why do we not therefore say that since he's choshed on mamon, he's choshed on shvua, and yet we don't say that. And that's, you can see the double underline suggesting why not say migu de choshed on choshed ashvua, and yet we don't say that. Just like Rabbi Yochanan. Vesu, further evidence to Rabbi Yochanan. Hadatani Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia's teaching, and this we saw at the beginning of our Masechta. This, it's a brief source, brief quotation here. It has to do with the case of Chenvoni al Pinkaso. Just to briefly review, someone had hired workers to do some work for him, and he will therefore owe their wages. The Balabayas speaks to a Chenvoni, a store owner, saying, listen, pay out to the workers their wages, and I'll eventually pay you for what you laid out. The workers, one day, after finishing their job, swear they didn't receive any payment. The store owner swears, well, I did pay them. And what happens now? So Reb Chia says, Shneihem nishboyin v'noitlin bibalabayas. Both the workers and the store owner will come with their respective claims and get payment from the balabayas, the one who hired them. Now, someone here is definitely lying. Neymar, why do we not say migu de chashir amamoyna chashir ashvasa? Since one of them is definitely lying, we shouldn't allow an oath to be taken, yet we don't say that. Namely, that even though people might be suspect regarding money matters, if they're swearing, we rely on them as telling the truth. Fasu, hal yom rav sheshes. Rav Sheshes, in his teaching regarding a shomer chinam, sh'olosh shvuos mashpien oisoi, a shomer chinam that comes to claim that he does not have to, that he claim exemption in his claim that an item was stolen from him, we impose three oaths, shvuos shelo poshatiba, one that I did not behave with negligence. Shvua shelo shalachti boyad. I swear that I did not use it for my own purposes. And three, shvua she'eino birshusi. I swear that it's not in my possession. Regarding this third oath that he's swearing it's not in my possession, why are we making him swear that way? Is it not because we suspect that he is in possession of it, that he's holding it and he's trying to keep it for himself, that he's trying to be a thief to make off with someone else's item? Should we not say that just like he suspect in our mind regarding mamon, he's also suspect with regard to swearing falsely, and yet ella, and rather lo amrinon, we don't say that by virtue of the, by evidence of the fact that he is swearing. Lo amrinon, we do not say migu de choshed amamono choshed ashvuasa. A second house marking appears with a Roman numeral number 2. A different approach as to the shvua in the Mishnah. Abaye Omar. Now, in principle, Abaye is disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan, and that if someone is suspect with regard to thievery, we would not accept his oath. Then in our Mishnah, where the Shua is imposed, in Abaye's mind, it's not because we suspect someone might be coming along and grabbing something that's not his, and we're imposing the Shua from deterring that kind of behavior, that kind of claim. Abaye says, "Chayshinon shema milva yishana yesh loy olav." We're suspicious that the fellow coming to grab is really coming with a legitimate claim. That there's a debt that the owner, that they will call the current legitimate owner of the talis really owes, and he forgot the debt. The lender wants his debt paid, and the lender knows that if he lays claim, you owe me money, the borrower, i.e. talis owner, will deny it. So what does the lender do? He grabs the talis, in effect, payment for the money owed to him. That's so Abai says, Chayshinon Shemel Milve Yeshan, an old loan, an old debt, an outstanding debt exists, that Yeshlo Olav, that the lender has as a claim over the owner of the talis. The Gemara asks, if that's what's in our mind when we look at the people grabbing the talis, that people grabbing talisim do so only because they're trying to recover an old loan, Ihachi Nishko Belo Shvusa, then why do we place an oath upon him? He wouldn't grab unless money was actually owed, according to our explanation. What's the role of the oath? Elo Chayshinon Shema Safek Milva Yeshana Yesh Lo Olav. We're suspect that the one grabbing is grabbing because there is a doubtful loan. I think you owe me money. The Gemara asks, V'lav Amrinon Tofis Mamona Misveka? Are you not saying then that people will grab money even under circumstances of doubt? Why are you imposing an oath? Mishtaba Nami Misofik, a person will also swear claiming something is his under circumstances of doubt, so that the oath doesn't ascertain or establish facts any more than the basic grabbing of it. People will swear out of doubt. Omar Rav Sheshes Breid Ravidi, Rav Sheshes says, Parshi Inshi Misofik Shvua V'lo Parshi Misofik Mamona. People will desist from claims when their claims of doubt and an oath is imposed upon them. They will desist from doubtful oaths, whereas they will not desist, they will not literally separate themselves or distance themselves from sofek momo, from doubts regarding money. My taima, why the distinction? Why in people's minds will they try to claim money even though their claim is one of doubt, and they nevertheless will not swear an oath of doubt? The Gemara answers, in people's minds, it operates like this. Mamon isei b'chazora. If the facts become clear that the money was not owed and someone collected money, they can always return it. Shvua lesei b'chazora. An oath cannot be retracted. Once you swear, you swear. And if it's a false oath, it's bad news. It's a major sin. And there's no chazora, there's no retracting of that. There's a Rashi across from here. V'lo parshi misofek mamona. People will not desist from claiming, let's say, doubtful money claims. However, avol mivadai demamona parshi. When it comes to a matter of certainty, whereby money is certainly not due to me, people will not lay claims to money that is definitely not owed to them. Uman delo porish, and someone who does not desist from claiming something that is not his, choshed nami ashvosa, he would be suspect regarding false oaths as well. I believe that it's at this point that Rashi is highlighting where Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, someone might be suspect of foul play regarding money matters. When we say foul play, we mean of actual thievery. According to Rabbi Yochanan, someone like that nevertheless will be accepted as swearing. We accept his shvua. Abaye says no. If someone is suspect of definite thievery, then we would not accept his shvua. The Tosfos, they find in the second half of the Omid, Dibur Masel Sofek Milvi Yeshona Yesh Lo Alav. Tosfos explains how Abaye accepts the shvuas that were mentioned earlier as supports to Reb Yochanan, and Abaye will tell you that in those cases, for example, the case of the three oaths imposed on the Shomer Chinam that claims it was stolen, and the case of the Chenvoni Al Pinkasai, the workers and the store owner both swearing and collecting. In those cases, Abaye will tell you there's also the suspicion of Shema Milvi Yeshoni Yeshlolov, the outstanding, the doubtful, the possible outstanding debt. And as a result of Sufek Momon claims, we can accept their shvuas as far as Abaye is concerned. But where someone is a definite thief, we will not, according to Abaye, accept their shvua. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.